Had a good week and a little cooler this morning. And you need what now?
Give me a pan. I'll put a pan.
Inside here. All right, well, we need to begin. We're time for us to begin. Hope and trust that you did have a good week, though. And this week, a week of Thanksgiving. I know everybody's already talking about food down here and what we're going to eat. And so I think everybody's getting ready and prepared for Thanksgiving. And then, of course, after that, we have Christmas. And then after that, the New Year. So a lot of busy events upcoming. And look forward to those as well. What about the archery team? They do pretty good yesterday? Good, good. The school has started an archery team, and it's kind of I call it maybe a newer sport, even though it's been around for years, but it's really become very, very popular over the past 4 or 5 years, and our school has started one, and yesterday, they call it their first meet, is that how they, or tournament, all right? They do call them tournaments, and... That's good. He's... Wow, okay. And he shoots left-handed, right? Does he shoot left?
I think he does.
All right, so good. And a good day there yesterday. And I was kind of wondering last night how that went. And so good job there. Let's do pray, and we'll get into our lesson. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that is the chapter we were in last week. I'm going to read one verse there. And then our lesson this morning, we're going to cover all of the chapter 13 and all of chapter 14. So we've got much to cover this morning and a lot to look at, even though chapter 14 is going to deal with a particular problem that he's going to kind of sum up, Paul will, and kind of sum up some of the previous statements that he had made. But important lessons here, and important for us as believers as we take and as we study. Our lessons for the past few weeks and even this morning is basically just dealing with churches, if you would, membership of churches and our roles and our jobs in the work of God. And everybody has a place. Everybody has a job. Everybody, as we mentioned last week, has a spiritual gift that God has given unto them, and you are one who has. If you're a child of God this morning, God has gifted you in some areas that can be very useful to the work of God. No one this morning can say that I'm not talented. Everybody has a special talent that God has given unto them. So keep that in mind, and we'll apply this to us this morning. And look at some things there. Bear with me. I'm kind of congested. I have a sore throat this morning. But we'll look at several things here. But let's pray first, and we'll get right into our lesson this morning. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We love you. We thank you, Lord, so much for what we have this morning. Lord, I'm afraid sometimes we take our freedoms that we have for granted. We thank you for our country, our nation, and the freedoms that we have. Lord, just to be able to assemble this morning around your word, we can take your word, we can teach it, we can preach it, we can study it, we can read it. And Lord, we praise you for that opportunity that we have this morning. Lord, thank you for your word that you've given unto us and preserving of your word and keeping of your word. We thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us this morning as we study, help us to learn some very important parts of the ministry, the life that we live as a member of this church, and the jobs that we have and the task that lies before us. Lord, help us to be very vigilant about what you have for us. Help us to be very aware that we live in perilous times. And Lord, we live in a very desperate time. And Lord, we need to do our part in the ministry to make sure that the ministry does go forward, that lost souls may be saved, that the gospel may be preached around the world. And help us with that. We do pray, Lord, for those that are here this morning. I'm sure there are many this morning who have prayer requests that no doubt will be mentioned here in our morning service. We pray for those prayer requests that your will would be done. We pray that you would help each and every person here this morning in any needs that they may have. We do pray for lost people this morning that we may come in contact with this coming week, or maybe those that we know. They may be a family member or a friend. that needs the gospel. I pray that you'll help us to be a witness unto them, a good witness unto them. And Lord, I pray that they would see their need of salvation very, very soon before it's eternally too late. We also pray for our missionaries that we support and how important they are in the work around the world in preaching the gospel to a world that desperately needs to know, thus saith the Lord, and how to be saved and how they can trust you as their personal Savior. We pray for those ministries around the world. We pray for your blessings upon them. We do pray, Lord, for our nation this morning. We pray for wisdom. We pray for understanding. We pray for leadership. And Lord, we pray for those that are hurting around the world. It seems like there's been many terrorist attacks in the past week or so. And many people who are even hurt this morning, we pray for healing there. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. And Lord, I pray that through all this, may it make people realize and understand how important life is and how that is so important that they know where they're going to spend eternity before it's too late. Help them to realize the need of salvation. And Lord, may this be a tool. May it be used for something good to show the world that heaven is real and they need to be prepared for that. We pray, Lord, that you bless our Sunday school hour, our time that we study. We pray for your blessings upon all that we do this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, good. Well, let's go into our lesson this morning. I mentioned, let's go back to chapter 12. And I'm going to just kind of go back and review very, very quickly. Our lesson last week, we discussed a lot about different gifts that God gave. Now, I realize in the early church, some of those gifts that were given are not something that would be relevant maybe for today. There was a special need for those gifts in the early church, in the early beginning stages of a lot of the ministries of the church, and but we talked a lot about the different gifts and so forth, and I mentioned last week that I do believe this. I believe that everybody that is a child of God, you bring something to the ministry of God that is unique that you can bring and that you can give to the work of God to help the work of God. Everybody in this room does have a degree of talent, all right? Now, our talents vary. We're not all talented in the same areas, or gifted, I should say, in the same areas. And that's God's decision to decide what it is that we give to the work of God. Now, this morning, it's not up for us to get mad because we're not, we don't have such and such gifts, and maybe we feel like we wish we had somebody else's gifts or talents. We don't live that way. God decides what the gifts and talents are. They're given to the child of God. And they are given to the child of God to be used for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate goal of all that we do. We want to see a lost and dying world come to Christ before it's eternally too late. That's our ultimate goal. Now, once we establish that as the ultimate goal, then there's a lot of goals that fall below that that we can all be a part of and contribute to the work of God. But we talked about the different gifts. We spent a lot of time on that as well. We also spent some time talking about we talked a lot about the church and the functions of the church and how when everybody does their part, what makes things work much better. We also discussed some of the talents that were misused by some of the members, and how that it brought actually confusion to the church when God never gave them to create confusion. God gave them to settle any confusion, to make the church work and function properly. And that's the reasons behind those as well. But I want to talk to you in chapter 12, and I want to read the last verse. It was a verse, of course, we read the last of last week's lesson. But in chapter 12, verse 31, you'll find that he makes the statement here, and he says in the middle of the verse, "And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." All right? Now, he's not talking about a different way to heaven. He's talking about a more excellent way for the church to function properly so that the church can reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So after all the chapter, and we discussed all the different talents and all the different gifts that were given and how they are to be used, and when they're used properly, it brings stability to the church. It brings a fluidness where everything works properly. It goes a lot easier. It eliminates any confusion in the church.
It makes things simplified. And when things are moving properly and smoothly and fluidly, and when things are operating very well, the church is a lot more apt to be able to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So after Paul goes through all that and all the, he discussed a little bit about tongues and how they are used. And we discussed last week how that tongues in the Bible is when God gifted an individual with the ability to be able to speak a language, whether it be Greek or Hebrew or Latin. A lot of different people in churches that would speak different languages, and that created a problem. The speaker could speak maybe in Latin, but if you only understood Hebrew, you're not going to understand the message. So God said, okay, I'll solve that. So God gifted some people with the ability or gift of tongues where they could speak in that particular language, where they could interpret or teach or even speak unto them in their own language and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, with all that being said, after Paul goes through all this, remember how that last week he broke it down and made it very simple. It's almost like the human body. Is the ear more important than the eye? No. Is the hand more important than the foot? No. They're all very important. Every member of our body is very important. When all members of the body work correctly, life is easy. And so Paul used the human body as an illustration of how that every member of that body is important. Now, we make up the body of Christ. We are a local New Testament Baptist church this morning. Now, there is not any member in this church that's any more important than anybody else in this church. Everybody's equal this morning. You have a talent, you have an ability, you have a gift that you have that God has given unto you, and if you'll use it, it can be glorified and used gloriously, I should say, for Christ through the ministry of our church. Now, Paul ends the chapter here and he says, I'm going to tell you a more excellent way. So Paul is going to give you some insight now as we get to chapter 13 of something that is so powerful, it will be, in fact, if you'll use this, it's more powerful than prophesying, it's more powerful than being able to speak in another language, it's more powerful than being a great teacher, a great preacher, someone who maybe is gifted in the area of finances to help support the church financially, it's more important than that. So he's going to give you a more important or a more excellent way in chapter 13. He goes in verse number 1 of chapter 13. Here's where we pick up this morning. All right, chapter 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not... What's the next word? The next word is one word. It's called what? Charity. Paul is going to take this chapter and illustrate there is nothing more powerful than all the world than love. Because you can be a great teacher, but if you don't love people, you're not going to be very effective. You can be somebody that can speak five languages. All right. Now, last week, I think there were a few that's taken some Spanish, and I think that's the only other language that some may kind of understand a little bit in our service this morning. But what Paul is saying here, you can have the gift of tongues and be able to speak in Latin or Hebrew or Greek or whatever language you want to put out there, but if you do not have love, you're not going to be very effective in the ministry of God. There's nothing more powerful than love. Are y'all with me this morning? Everybody in this room probably knows John 3:16. For God so what? Loved. You take that one word out, changes the whole meaning of the whole verse. I'm glad God loves me. What a statement that is, and we make statements like that. And we make the statement of love, but I'm afraid as Paul dives very deep into this subject of love that we don't fully understand what love really means. And Paul is going to exhaust love to such a degree here that it's amazing of how many descriptions that he's going to give about charity or a very deep abiding love and how that he's going to describe that. And Paul says, if you'll take love and use it. It's the most powerful tool that you'll have as a church body. It's the most powerful tool that you'll have as a believer in love and how that you share love with the world. You know what? It's hard to stop a church that is a church full of love. Everybody knows this to be true. You go into a church that doesn't demonstrate love very much, you're not going to be very comfortable there. You go into a church that's always bickering and fighting and complaining and griping and so forth. You know, who wants to go in and be involved in something like that? But you find a church that illustrates and uses love as an example in every aspect of their ministry, you would be amazed at what a church could do if it will illustrate love to a lost and dying world. So he mentions here, that and have not love in verse number 1, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding of mysteries and all knowledge, and through all I have, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, Paul says, I am nothing. That's a pretty strong statement. Verse 2 is very, very important that we understand. Paul is saying, basically, you can have anything you want in this world, but if you lack charity, you're nothing. That's a pretty strong statement that Paul is saying here. Now, realize Paul is dealing with problems in a church. And basically, when I read this chapter, I come away with realizing and understanding that I believe the biggest problem the church had, they did not love people like they ought to. Now, I think most all of us would agree this morning that we all lack probably in this area of loving people. It's easy to live life. And live life in such a way that we're not effective enough maybe sometimes in the ministry, because when it really comes down to it, we don't love people like we ought to love people. We often will use excuses of why we don't maybe do more for the cause of Christ. Well, I'm too busy, don't have time. Work requirements require me to be away and I'm not able. And well, we use all kind of excuses and so forth. But the reason sometimes we don't do all we should for Christ is because we don't love people like we ought to love people. And even Paul says here in verse number 2, he said, you can have the gift of prophecy. You can have a gift of understanding all mysteries of the world. You can have all the knowledge of the world. You can have the greatest of all faith above everybody in all the world, to the point where you could even tell a mountain to move and it would move because of your faith. And Paul says here, though, but if you do not have this charity, you are nothing. Paul says in verse number 3, and though I bestow all my goods, means you give up all your money. I don't know how much money you have, but you sell your house, your automobiles. You take all the money that you have in this world. You feed the poor, verse number 3. And though I give my body to be burned, that means you sacrifice your own body and have not charity, it profit me nothing. So what is this more excellent way that Paul mentions at the end of chapter 12? What is it that Paul could give to a church and encourage a church in an area and basically tell them, I can give you something that supersedes everything that I've given you in chapter 11 and chapter 12, and that is having charity. Now let me stop here. We could go back to all the gifts. This morning, Brother Dwayne, can you speak any other language than English? Pig Latin. No, I don't know that that's a language, but it's more. You can. Okay. Brother Yandel, you play piano, very gifted there. Do you sing? You don't. Okay. Well, you two guys, that's two strikes and three strikes. We're going to be out here, right? We could go around the room and pinpoint different things in the church that maybe we don't feel like we have that talent or ability to do. And sometimes we walk away sometimes and feel like, you know, I don't know that I can really do anything. I think Paul kind of sums it up and says this: there's not a soul in the church that can't give the most excellent way. Everybody can love. I may not be able to sing a special in the church. I may not be able to play the piano in a church service, but I can at least love people. Paul says that's the greatest of all. So I believe that Paul is saying to basically everybody, you know, just because you don't have that one particular talent or this one particular gift that God gives, hey, everybody has the ability in the church to love people. And it's the greatest gift of all of them. So for us to say this morning, you know, I'm not really that necessary in the church, you are very necessary in the church. Because you can love and give charity to others. So Paul continues on. He goes to verse number 4, and this is where 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I believe, where he is going to describe a little bit about love, because love is just, you know, love's an easy word to say. You know, I love you. God loves me. That's an easy statement. And we mention the word love, but Paul says, but I don't know that you fully understand what love really is. So Paul is going to go very deep, if you would, in illustrating and using examples of what love is so you have a good understanding. Because it would be easy for Paul to make the statement to the church and talk about charity and how it's supreme to everything. It's superior to any gift, talent, ability that anybody may claim they have. Because if you don't have charity, you don't have anything. Well, I can speak in a foreign language, Paul says. Yeah, but if you don't have charity, you're nothing. You're no good. Well, I can prophesy, or I can teach, and I can preach, and all the other gifts that we mentioned last week, and we can claim hold to one of those, and Paul says, yes, you may claim to have that, but if you don't have charity, you don't have anything. And Paul starts to describe now what love is. Now, I jotted down, and I may have missed one, but I wrote down 14 examples that Paul uses in four verses of what love is. So I take these four verses here, and I think to myself, these are very important because now Paul is trying to teach me what love really is. It's not just a word that we mention when we say, I love you. And as I mentioned a moment ago, you know, we make the statements, God loves you or God loves me, and we make that statement. It's much more than just a word or just a statement or a word in a sentence. So here's what Paul says in verse number 4. Charity suffereth long. All right, so I wrote down number 1, suffereth long. Now, let me backtrack here just a moment. Love is an action word. Love is action on your part without requiring anything in return. Okay? Here's the best way to explain this. It is the total opposite of gift giving at Christmas. You know who we give gifts to? Those who give us a gift. If someone gives us a gift, then we feel like we're obligated to give them a gift. You know why we do that? Because we have no understanding of what love really is. Am I right? I've said it a million times. Christmas has become nothing more than exchanging of money. You give me $20, I'll give you $20. Am I right? And that's what Christmas has become. Christmas has become the total opposite of what Christmas really is. Christmas is when God gave us His Son. He gave him. God, I don't even know where I want to go here now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do we agree with that? Do you know that this morning God loves you whether you love him or not? God loves everyone whether they accept His Son or not. You see, this morning, love is an action word that pertains to you doing something, and Paul's going to illustrate it all here, without expecting anything in return. Am I not correct this morning? We live Christianity sometimes completely upside down.
Well, I tried to encourage so-and-so and try to be a blessing to so-and-so in the church, and they just kind of shrugged me off. I'm not going to do that anymore. They're going to treat me like that. That's not love. Love does not care about a response from somebody else. Love is when you do something to someone or you do something for someone and the thought never enters your mind that you're going to get anything back from it. We could teach on tithes and offerings this morning, a little bit about giving to the Lord. And I do believe that I've always made the statement, you'll never outgive God. No matter how much you give to a church, you're not going to outgive God. Somewhere you're going to get more in return from God. But I'm afraid sometimes we give with that thought in our mind when we ought to give to the church and give in our tithes and our offerings and can care less what happens after that. Because love backs up our giving. I'm going to run out way out of time here if I don't move forward. Let's look at verse number 4. Here's what Paul is describing as love. Remember, it's something, it's an action word on your part. It does not require anything in return. It does not expect anything in return. It's you living your life in such a way, and charity is going to be superior to any other gift that's ever mentioned to the gifts that Paul had mentioned about those that had those gifts in the church. Let's look at verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. So I mean, you take just verse 4. It suffereth long. It's kind. It envieth not. It's not puffed up. Love is not something. It's not an action that you're going to do where you get recognized for it. You know, that's what most people want to do. They want to be recognized for their service. Love doesn't work that way. Love never puffs itself up. Now, you know what puffed up is. You ever met people that get puffed up? If you don't know what it is, come to a basketball game and I'll show you what it looks like. They hit that three-point shot and boy, they walk differently after that. Now, if they miss it, oh, I got a cramp in my leg, you know. You ever seen that? What is that? It's being a little puffed up. They hit the shot, and it's almost like they want to look to the crowd. Am I right? They miss the shot, they try to avoid the coach and look the other way. That's how we live with Christianity many times. We do something for God, and we want everybody to know about it. We get mad if the pastor don't pat us on the back. You mean tell me I did all that last week for the church, and the pastor never even said thank you? Not anybody in the church knows what I did for the church last week. That's totally opposite of what Paul's talking about. Love basically works behind the scenes. Many times, love by others is never noticed. Let me tell you, if you're real effective in your Christian life, it's when you do something for somebody or people or however you want to group it together, and not a soul in the church even knows about it. That's a pretty good example of love at work, because it never puffs itself up. Love never asks for an applause. Love never asks for you to cheer for it. It doesn't have to have that. You see, love is very self-sustaining this morning. It's very able this morning. And Paul says that everybody in the church has this gift. If you are a child of God, you are gifted with the ability, I guess I should say, to perform charity. Paul goes through verse number 4. It suffereth long. It's kind. We could spend 2 weeks just on the word kind, being kind. You know, sometimes church members are just not very kind. Now, I look at church membership and being a part of a church kind of like being a part of a family. You know, have you ever had to tell your children sometimes that, you know, why don't you treat people at school the way you do your own family? You understand what I'm talking about? And I'm afraid sometimes even as church members sometimes we become a little bit, not mean, but boy, we're just not real kind with one another. But boy, a stranger come in and we'll slobber all over them. We'll treat them with respect. We'll treat them with a smile. We'll shake their hand. Glad you're here. You're welcome to sit with me. But that other one been around for about 20 years. You go sit over yonder somewhere. Am I right?
Yeah.
Kind. It goes on. Charity envieth not. There's no envy with love. It's not puffed up. It's not going to ask for congratulations. It's not going to ask for a thank you card. It's not going to ask for a pat on the back. It's not going to ask the pastor to congratulate me in front of everybody else, because love or charity, it's not puffed up. Verse number 5. All right. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Let's see here. That's number 5. I think I've put that down as number 5. It does. What does that mean? It means that love never behaves in an inappropriate way towards the object that it's trying to give the love to. It always acts properly, if you would. Verse number 5. It goes on, seeketh not her own. All right. What does it mean? It means you don't give love to benefit from it. It's the totally opposite of politicians. Politicians don't do anything without expecting something in return. You contribute money to my campaign, somewhere down the road I'll pat you on the back somehow, and you pat my back and I'll pat your back. That's how politics works nowadays. Very corrupt. Love is totally opposite. It never seeks her own. What does that mean? It means that you're going to love, let's say an individual, you're going to love someone whether that person ever loves you back or not. You're not loving that individual expecting anything in return. Your actions are not such that you if you don't get something back in return pretty quick, then you're going to move your love somewhere else. That's not charity this morning. So you'll find here that it seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. All right? So we find I don't know, I've got that down to about 8. So he's already given you 8 examples of what love is, and it's usually totally opposite of the way we view love. Let's be honest. Most all of our love is based on the response that we get back from that individual. Now, I will say this. There are, you know, some people are more easily to love than others. Not all church members are easy. There are going to be some difficult people among the mix sometimes. And there's a lot of reasons maybe behind that. I don't know what everybody's going through from week to week. We must realize sometimes some church members respond harshly or critically, or maybe we think they got a bad spirit about them. But you know what? If you would have walked in their shoes all week, you might have a bad attitude when you came on Sunday. I don't know what everybody's been through this past week. I don't know what everybody faces, and maybe the hardships that some people may face in a week's time. All I know is that I need to love people and expect nothing back in return. And that's very hard to live. It's difficult. But Paul says, you know what? It's a more excellent way. A more excellent way. What's Paul saying? Paul says, you're just not going to improve on this. Paul says, I'll give you a system here that I guarantee you works every time. And if every church member would live by this word charity, Paul says, you know what? We might reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But most members and Christians and church-going people don't live by this word charity. he goes on. Verse number 6, he says here, rejoicest not in iniquity, but rejoicest in the truth. There's a lot that we could say there about truth and how that truth is the basis of all love. He goes on in verse number 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Verse number 8, charity, Paul says, never faileth. What does that mean? It means it never fails. It never loses. It never comes up short. You can never go wrong with charity. Now, isn't it amazing now? We're down to what chapter? We're down to verse number, what did I read last? Verse number 6 is where I'm at. We're in verse 7. I take the first 7 verses, and Paul basically says, if you don't have this, I don't care what gift you claim that you have in life, you're nothing. Now, let me ask you something this morning. Why does Paul say you can have the gift of tongue, you can have the gift of prophecy, and I don't remember all the different gifts that we discussed last week, and Paul said you can have one of those, you can have all those, but if you don't have charity, you are nothing. Why do you think Paul believes that? Not a trick question. Anybody got an idea? God is love. All right. Anybody else got an idea? Paul says, if you don't have it, you're nothing. Why are you nothing without love? You know, and it's not a trick question. I don't know that I can give you the most definite answer this morning, but I just know this, that when you know somebody really loves you, you know, they can pretty well say about anything and you still admire them. Have you ever heard the old saying, sometimes in life, even when raising children, you got to use tough love?
Yeah.
It's not that you're mean and hateful and ugly. It's just you may be stern and you're that way with them because you love them. But as long as a child knows that you love them, they understand it. You know, I think love is the most powerful, one of the most powerful tools that we have in the ministry. Now, I realize we have the Word of God, and that's very, 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 very important. But boy, you know what? If you don't back it up with love, I don't know if we're going to reach very many people. You know, we can go out and preach, thus saith the Lord, just hammer the Word of God away at people, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's truth. I mean, truth is truth, and it cuts like a two-edged sword, the Bible says. But boy, if people don't think you love them, you're not going to reach them. I think people can accept the truth of the Word of God, when we back it up with love. But boy, if we get this spirit about us that, boy, we're just going to, you know, bless God, here's the Word of God, whether you like it or not, it don't matter, and we throw it down, slam it down, and you know, bless God, you abide by it. And we walk away like that, people are going to think, you know, do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
But if you back it up with love, that's where you reach people. Love will reach more people than the other tool you have. Because Paul says, if you don't have this, your gift doesn't really matter. Because this gift that everybody has, it never loses. It always wins. Look at verse number 8. We said, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fall. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth in faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Paul says it's the greatest. He gives you three words in verse number 13. We preach a lot about faith and having a great faith and a great faith in God. And we preach, teach a lot about it. We talk about hope. And then Paul says charity. And he said if you had to sum those three up, Paul says charity is the greatest of all the three. That's a pretty strong statement. Now, we just read an entire chapter. Chapter 13 is 13 verses in chapter number 13 here. It's amazing how that in chapter 12 we talked about all the different gifts and so forth that God had given to the early church there for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ, to simplify things, to eliminate all the confusion that had arisen in the churches and so forth. And what a great chapter that was. But boy, you get to chapter number 13, Paul takes just one gift that everybody has from God, and that is the ability to love people. And Paul says this is superior to all other ones. Paul described it as the more excellent way. Charity. Pretty strong chapter. It's a reminder unto us this morning that, you know, it's so easy to get kind of into our routine of the week and our ordeals of the week and what we do throughout a week and even in the church, and we're all creatures of habit. Everybody in this room is a creature of habit. Well, I'm not a creature of habit, then why do you sit in the same place every week? We all pretty well, do we not? We all sit in the same place. We got our little pew, and do not sit in my pew. Okay? That's my pew. That's where I sit. Why? Because that's, you know what it is? It's a comfort zone. We feel comfortable there. For some reason, that's where you chose. That's where you like to sit, and you feel comfortable there. It's easy to go through the motions even on a Sunday. But if we walk out of this building this morning and we do not have love, we are going to be of none effect. We're going to have no effect in this world whatsoever. Love. What is love? Paul tries to describe it here, and humanly speaking, I think he does a good job, but I don't know that a man could actually sum up what love really is. I know the Bible tells me that God is love. That's an easy statement to make. God is love. We all believe that, and we try to process that and comprehend that, but it's hard to fully understand the love of God. Now, if there's any example of love, God is the example of love. Would you not agree? Then try coming up here and explaining God. It's impossible. Love is an action word. It is something that you act out. But don't expect something in return. Because if you're doing it expecting them to react back unto you in a certain way, then it's not love. I still go back, and I don't know why, but every time we get to Christmas time, I always think the same thing. This is crazy. You're going to give a gift to the one that you know is going to give you a gift. And sometimes people have a hard time accepting a gift. Let's just say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go find somebody, and I'm going to give them a gift
without them even knowing I'm going to give it to them. And you give it to them, and then they feel obligated they got to give you a gift. Right? And then we lie about it. Oh, I forgot to bring your gift today. You don't have a gift, but you're going to go get one, but you don't want them to think that, you know, they gave you something, you weren't going to give them something. Sometimes the actions we perform on Christmas are so anti-Christmas, it's not even funny. Because that's not the meaning of Christmas. Now, we give gifts, and we center that around Christmas because God gave us His Son. But God gave us His Son whether you were ever going to love Him back or not. And God was going to give His Son whether you accepted Him or not. Because God never gave His Son expecting or demanding that He get something back in return. That's what love is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for this day. We thank You for our lesson.